Hey, everybody. Welcome to Radio Labyrinth. It's season 9, episode 15. Everybody's still alive. The apocalypse didn't happen on Monday, when the eclipse, went by. And my eyes did not hurt. They hurt for a different reason, but not because I looked at it without glasses. And I got to hang out and meet Killer Mike. That was kind of cool. Killer Mike's a nice guy. He did a one-hour sit-down interview with the WSB radio where I work full-time, night show host. He sat down and he talked about, things he cares about, city of Atlanta, the state of Georgia, and he couldn't have been a better guest or somebody to meet. So it was that was kind of cool to meet him. And, I feel bad because I wanted Steph to come. And of course, she's not with us this week. She's taking care of her mom up in Michigan. And she will be back hopefully in 2 weeks, maybe next week, but more likely 2 weeks from now. But we want to wish her well and her mother well also. A lot of things we want to talk about this week, but I think we ought to just go ahead and address the elephant in the room, our clout chasing that we've been doing recently on the podcast and algorithm surfing. That's what I call it, surfing the algos. Of course, I get the algos from, I stole that from Adam Curry and the No Agenda podcast. Ding. Punching you in the mouth. So that's what we've kind of been doing, or I've been doing, and it's been successful so far. Dustin's, well, successful is, if you're basing it on our previous views. I think once we started doing that, we went up from about 100 to maybe 200 a week, right, Dustin? And now we're averaging over 1,000.
Yeah, we were hitting like 150 to 250 on average from, and really we only kind of look at it from Saturday when it comes out until Wednesday when we record another one. When we started doing this, it pretty much increased by 1,000.
Well, let me preface everything and give me a little room here. Jump in if you want, whatever. Let me just say that the comedian podcast verse to me, and this is to me, and you guys feel free to weigh in, it's sort of an evolution and maybe a little bit of fusion of old time talk radio, most specifically Howard Stern, and also the Letterman Conan era of talk television, late night talk show host. Really, you don't have any of that today. Yeah, Stern is doing interviews, and he's earned that, by the way. I joke, whatever, like a lot of old school Stern fans, but Stern's earned what he's doing now. And still, if you think about it, he does maybe 3 shows a week. Takes a lot of time off. He doesn't go into the studio, or he may, I don't know. But he does big time interviews with people that he's probably never spoken to in the past and stars and things like that. It's not like the old show where he's doing racial humor or sexist humor, which it wasn't, but it is, whatever. Modern definitions of things. So all these comedians who host podcasts, if they're really good and they have their friends on, it's them talking, and there's no commercials, there's no timer, they're talking about funny things, they're telling jokes, and it depends on who you like, but every genre of comedian sort of has a podcast, and that is a way for them to promote themselves. You could go on the Johnny Carson and the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson and do your stand-up set, and if he invited you to sit down, and he would say, so where are you going to be? And then he would read 3 or 4, or Letterman would do the same thing. And they probably still do that today. Same with Stern. If you were a comedian who went on his show, he doesn't really have him on anymore. You could say where you're going to be. All that is unnecessary anymore. But thankfully, I work with a guy who will book comedians for radio still. And a lot of them still do it. But they talk to each other and then they push themselves. So they don't need that old way of doing things and marketing themselves. And who really that got started with Carolla and Rogan, right, Jeff?
Yeah.
And maybe, Mark Maron, primarily doing a podcast, bringing people out. Doug Stanhope. I mean, come on, Getting Doug with High, right? Was that the name of his podcast?
Doug Benson, yeah.
Yeah, Doug Benson. That he was one of the first comedians to do a podcast, a handful of them. And when you went to the stand-up show, if you weren't listening to the podcast, you sort of felt a little bit, I don't really know what's going on. That's how I felt the last time I went and saw Carolla. But anyway, it's the perfect way for them to entertain and promote and showcase their talents. I think that of all of them right now, Rogan and Theo are the best interviewers because they have people on that aren't necessarily in the comedy world and they ask good questions. Harlan's, I think, is probably one of the funniest because he can have a guest or not a guest and still make it super funny because his brain is so fast. And when he has guests on, it's not a sit down and let's ask questions. It's just an improv fest.
It's best when he has somebody that's just as quick and weird as
yes.
him, though.
But if he doesn't, it can be awkward. And like Kevin Nealon. Kevin Nealon's funny and a good improviser, but he's not as fast as...
Right.
Did you listen to that one?
That's a good one.
It was great, but it was different. And then you have Howie Mandel, and that one was amazing. And then this most recent week, he's by himself. But, you know, there's something for everybody. So that's what I wanted to preface it with. I mean, listen, we talked about all these shows that this cottage industry that's built up around podcasts. This cottage industry of shows like Podcast Cringe. There's a couple of...
Comedy Enforcement?
That's right. Comedy Enforcement. And let's just talk about those two. These guys spend hours and hours and hours doing what we can't do, or maybe you can, I can't do it, watching long-ass podcasts. Like Joe Rogan's is usually 3 hours long. Theo Vaughn's is usually an hour and a half, 2 hours long, right?
Fucking Kevin Smith was on Rogan, and I didn't even listen to that one.
Yeah, well, that's a commitment, right? That's a lot of time.
Even somebody that I'm a huge fan of, I'm right. not going to sit through a four-hour podcast.
Right, that's an audio book. They have to not only do that, then they have to take notes. Then they have to isolate one or two main ideas, cut a video, create graphics, narrate it, get it up, and get it into the algorithm. And none of that is easy work. I mean, and they're doing it all themselves. So I don't know, because of YouTube's rules in using other people's stuff, they show clips. Now, I don't even know if they can monetize their, they get thousands, hundreds of thousands of views, right? Dustin, you'll know. Do they, if they use a clip from Joe Rogan, does that demonetize them and give all the views and credits for the views to the other podcast that they're talking about? Or is it because they're reviewers, they can do it?
You're supposed to be able to use other clips that are on there, at least as it falls under fair use. And the funny part is about Rogan, his company will pop you every time you use it, but he always lets you use it because he understands that it's mm-hmm. no matter what it is, it's marketing.
Right.
Yeah.
That's weird because he can't even show YouTube videos.
he's pissed about it.
I'm sure he is. I think now he has Jamie bring it up on a website so he can show it. So it's not on YouTube.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. They have to take it outside. Plus
right.
he's been used to the last, what, 4 years, 2 or 3 years on Spotify, you know, being able to do whatever he wants.
But not always being able to do whatever you want.
Well, true.
Like Red Bar, who can, because everything is on his privately owned server and everything's on his privately owned website. And I don't believe he has advertising, so he can do whatever he wants. What about, I mean, that's some freedom right there. So the reason I'm talking about all this is because it was funny that last week we called the show Podcast Hate, which had nothing to do with us hating any of these podcasts that we're talking about. It was just sort of a joke based on some of the things people say. And you can tell that people didn't watch it that commented, and we'll read some of those comments later. But people thought we were crapping on the podcast and we weren't. I mean, I'm kind of celebrating this. I love this idea because it's like TMZ. What does TMZ do? They talk about celebrities and famous people. Dun, 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 and they talk about, you know, Entertainment Tonight. These are the same types of things. They're just talking about
the joke was that there's these takedown podcasts and yeah. we were going to be a takedown podcast.
Yeah, but we're not going to exhibit that energy, although I think it's fun to talk about them every week. So here we go. This week on podcasts who talk about podcasts who talk about podcast, Podcast Cringe talks about the downfall of Andrew Schultz, which is funny to me because until a couple of weeks ago I had no idea who he was. I know you guys did, but I didn't know who he was because, you know, I took that long break from comedy. He is the host of the Flagrant podcast and was recently on JRE, Joe Rogan Experience, talking about Diddy and Diddy's sex recordings and conspiracy stuff. So, Dustin, you watched this episode of Podcast Cringe?
Yeah. I mean, as far as the, you know, Schultz, it's weird. Schultz has ups and downs in his popularity. He really gets taken down by these guys at least every 6 months.
Let me interrupt you real quick.
Yeah.
I don't dislike him. I think some of his stuff is funny. So yeah. I don't, but I don't know where all the hate comes from. But the takedown videos, they're not really taking him down. They're just reporting on things other people are saying, right?
That rumors, things that were mentioned on other podcasts that were talking about this pod, you know what I mean? It's a lot, very meta as far as this own little insulated universe. I find it cool that, you know, it's just, that's a hobby that somebody's got, is to love these podcasts and watch them so much that they know them almost better than the people that make the podcast, which is crazy. Right.
And last week I was watching, you know, this Joey Diaz, all right, you know, 10 years ago, maybe a little bit more than 10 years ago, he's talking about copping BJs for girls to be able to go out and do a stand-up set at some club. And now all of a sudden he's like, no, you can't do that. You got to be nice to women.
Well, they're comedians and this is material. It doesn't, everything they say is not 100% true.
Oh, I know. But in that world where they're all laughing and Rogan's laughing and now they had to walk it all back. You're right. You're 100% right. Who knows what's fact and what's fiction. But then he gets mad. This Joey Diaz gets mad at Red Bar for pointing that out. And starts threatening that he's going to have him whacked, which again is, it's all kayfabe, shtick, whatever. If you're in that industry where you talk, I'd go back 20 years and find bits of mine that I would never want anyone to hear because I don't want to deal with, you know, modern ramifications of, oh, you did this voice or you said this or you said that. Now everything, that shit wasn't archived. Now everything is, especially if you had a YouTube page. And
you wore a pinstripe face. One Halloween.
Oh, I did. That's right. And it upset so many. It's at that party. But May the Brave should have played harder and not gotten swept. Because Harlan Williams talked about conspiracies. He talked about the old theory that Bigfoot killed JFK and then fled to the moon via the Apollo mission. And that's all I'm going to say about it. If you really want to know and dig deep into that, you got to listen to the Harlan Highway because everything makes sense. On the We're Having a Good Time podcast, the most recent one, Dusty Slay plagiarized my friend Jamie.
Yeah, tell that story. I want to hear that.
All right. So when Jamie and I went to see, Jamie Self and I went to see Dusty Slay at the Woodruff Arts Center 2 weeks ago. Great comedy show, by the way. All the openers were great. Of course, Dusty was great. You got to line up and do a meet and greet with him, take a picture with him, get an autograph, whatever. So Jamie said something to him, and I believe it was, here, I have the picture here. He said, he sent me this screen grab with him. He said, yeah, dude. Okay. Wouldn't surprise me. Do you ever see the clip of them doing a mock sacrificial ritual the first time they fired up CERN? Somebody recorded it, and their official answer was, oh, we were just funning around. So Dusty says, I don't know if I saw that, but I did see a lot of other crazy stuff surrounding CERN. And Jamie sent him a link to a YouTube page. And then, you know, that just went away. So a couple days after the show, his podcast comes out, the one he does with Hannah, his wife. We're Having a Good Time podcast. Jamie writes him and says, loved hearing you talk about the sacrifices at CERN on the podcast. I yelled at my buddy. I think I told you that. What a win if the world ends, huh? If anything does happen, I doubt it'll be tomorrow. Either way, y'all stay safe. And then Dusty wrote back, oh, I'm sorry. I should have given you credit. That was you that told me that. And, you know, we're having a good time. And he goes, oh, I definitely didn't mean it that way. I was stoked. But anyway, he plagiarized him on his show and then he apologized for it.
That's cool.
Yes. There was some other podcast I watched. It might have been Comedy Enforcement talking about how everybody's finished. Everybody's done. Nobody likes Brendan Schaub anymore. And Theo Vaughn is no longer friends with him. I guess that was
Dustin, you're from Tennessee. How come we're not going by Dusty?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
His name? Dusty.
Yeah, that's never been a nickname or anything growing up.
Did anybody watch Dudesy, the 100th episode, Dudesy 100?
Yeah, I love the beginning.
Yeah, the beginning of it featured Chad Kulchin doing an AI-generated apology to Kelly Carlin and the Carlin estate because they settled that. I guess there was no money. And then most of the episode was really wrapped around WrestleMania, Dudesy Mania.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I watched a bunch of clips of WrestleMania, but I'll get to that in a second. And I'll tell you why I watched it. But they reached a settlement and they had to do a public apology. And the way they did it is in a 100% Dudesy way. AI generated Chad with AI generated Chad audio and a very curt apology. And hopefully they can put all that behind them. But nobody really watched WrestleMania. I'm sure neither of you watched it. Did you?
No.
No.
Oh. The reason I watched it is because last week for...
why is The Rock wrestling again? That's what I want to know.
There's a reason he's wrestling again, because there's a lot to unpack with WrestleMania, and we're not going to be able to do that because that's not really my forte. But
long and short of it, he's an owner now. So,
yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yes, and the guy that's doing everything now is Triple H. He's doing all the storylines, and he's managing it, running it. Doesn't own it, all right? It's a different guy, but McMahon out of the picture. I think all the McMahons out of the picture, except for maybe Stephanie, who's married to Triple H. But it was a 2-day WrestleMania. Our buddy Stu was watching it, Jeff. I was texting him the other night, and he said he was just loving it, having a blast. It was really, it was the 40th one. So it was for the people who've been with WWE for a long time, and also for the people that have been with them for a short time. You had guys like Jason Kelsey and Lane Johnson. They interfered in a Rey Mysterio match, a tag team match, on Saturday night. And on Sunday, The Rock shows up and interferes in the Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns match. And while he's doing that, John Cena comes in and they have this stare down and they're walking at each other. And John Cena does the face thing. You don't see me, or you can't see me. And then Rock, puts a move on him, knocks him out. Then the lights go out. And then you hear the Undertaker's music. And then the lights come on and The Rock's looking up, waiting for the Undertaker to come down the ramp. Uh-oh, the Undertaker's right behind him. And then he does the same thing to The Rock. And then Cody Rhodes wins, putting an end to the Bloodline story. See, I had to research all this because I haven't watched it in forever. But it made me want to, I would watch it again. But it's weird because you have to, it's like if you watched a soap opera for, 15, 20, 30 years, and then you stopped watching it for 5 to 10 years, you're just going to pick up. You're going to have to get reacquainted with it. But I enjoyed it. I don't think I would ever get an emotional response. I used to get really jazzed up about wrestling. Like your nipples would get hard and you get goosebumps when something cool would happen that you didn't expect. The last time that happened was during the Attitude Era. And when right before WCW collapsed and Hulk Hogan and all those guys formed the NWO and they were bad guys. That was kind of cool. But you always had to suspend disbelief. And to Jeff's point earlier, why is The Rock wrestling? Why is John Cena? It's impossible for me to suspend disbelief enough to think that A, they hate each other, or B, that they would ever get into a fight. And they're both huge Hollywood movie star. The Rock and to a lesser degree Cena, but he's on the upswing. And it's just weird to see that because that never existed until those two guys. Hulk Hogan did movies, but he wasn't famous like that way. Roddy Piper did a couple of movies, but he never got that fame. But Batista, who will never return, The Rock and John Cena, they don't ever need to go back, but they love it, I guess. So that's why they went back. And the fans loved it, too, because it was huge. And then they had it in Philadelphia. So all the colors were, the Eagles colors. And so it was enjoyable. And if you're interested in it and you want to have a good time watching AI along with Will Sasso's impressions, because he can do a lot of these guys, check out the 100th episode of Dudesy. Now, the reason all that happened for me, though, is I interviewed a guy named Brad Baluchian. He has a brand new book out right now called Six Pack on the Road to WrestleMania. He was initially going to be a biographer of the Iron Sheik. And the book starts out with him talking about meeting the Iron Sheik and hanging out with him in Fayetteville, Georgia, and then taking him to a dirty hotel to buy crack and all this other shit that you had to deal with when you were trying to hang out with Iron Sheik back then. And, that ended. So he decided that he would focus on December of 1983 when Iron Sheik beat Bob Backlund for the championship, which was just to set up Hulk Hogan. And that's right when McMahon took over and made wrestling what it was in the 80s. And like 11 months before that, Jeff and I went and we saw our first, with our friend Stu, we went and saw our first WWE match. And I went and looked it up, that all those matches. Have you ever done that, Jeff?
No.
We saw The Rock's dad wrestle that night.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I don't remember that. You remember that?
Yeah. And Stu slapped that guy.
Well, you knew, we went to see Jimmy Snuka was the main event.
Yeah, Jimmy Snuka was like the headline.
Yeah, he beat Ray Stevens, not the country singer, Ray Stevens. Oh, yes, they call him. Or fly him. But Stu punched a magnificent Morocco. I can't believe you remembered we saw Rocky Johnson. Stu didn't even remember that. But that's who we saw, Rocky Johnson. All right, enough wrestling talk. And enough, listen, we don't hate these podcasts. We're just going to talk about it when they talk about podcasts. Is that okay? I hope so. Red Bar is watching. I bet he's not watching us.
Yeah, we got a bunch of those too. Red Bar's army was out in force.
Careful. Red Bar is watching. Okay, well, if he is, he's going to see us not saying anything terrible about him at all. And in fact, sort of why I think he's cool. Doing what he's doing and owning it all himself.
All right, speaking of podcasts, it's Bernie Sanders. I'm a senator from Vermont. I've been doing podcasts. Nothing's clicking. I've had guests, politics, you name it. I've had them on there. So what I want to start doing is, what I want to do is I want to talk about the downfall of Two Bears, One Cave. Now, first of all, if you heard Tom Segura, they were going to make their own stuff, their own platform. But now he's selling out and he's going to do a dark comedy on Netflix, a 6-episode dark comedy series that he's going to write in and act in. And nope, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. You know what I'm going to do? I decided I'm going to do song breakdowns. You guys cool with that? No?
Yeah, that would be great.
All right. Let's talk about a song. One of my favorite songs from the 1970s. You know, I watch all these shows on YouTube where the guy talks about the song. You can only play a little clip. I get it. I know how it is. But look, I like the money. I like, you know, get a lot of clicks, get a lot of bucks. There was a Billboard hit in 1977, a number one song that thrust a man named a songwriter, mind you. His previous hit song, he didn't sing. He wrote it for Helen Reddy. And it was called Angie Baby, and it's about a crazy girl who lives next door to a jock. She just listens to rock and roll all day. The guy comes over to, you know, to have sex with her while her parents are out. He doesn't know she's some sort of witch or a voodoo lady. She shrinks him down and makes him live in a radio. I don't understand it, but it was a number one song. Then he comes out with his own song. It's called Undercover Angel. You guys like that song? Undercover Angel by Alan O'Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, good song. Good song. Great song. One of my favorites. I have it on my Spotify. One hit wonder. That's all he ever did. And the song is really about him dating a lady. This is what he said. We're going to break it down. He sings a song about a lady that he's having sex with undercover angel. And then, you know, she leaves him. And she says, you know, the next time you sleep with a lady, think of me and, you know, I'll still be there. Really what this song is about is a guy, and we call them today incels. There's a terrible problem of incels today. Trump supporters, incels, guys that don't have sex. So it's just a song about a guy who jacks off. And he's convincing himself that she's his undercover angel, midnight fantasy, all that stuff. You know, I just hope he changed the sheets. Because today, that song would never be a hit song. It never would be a hit song because you got to have, you know... But it was a good song. And did I talk about Tom Segura instead? What should I talk about? Tom Segura. I don't even know who he is. But he's funny, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, Alan O'Day sings songs about jerking off. And they go to number one.
We're going to have Sly talking. He's going to be on in a little bit, and we got to talk to Sylvester about Tulsa King and the casting company debacle because, you know, they can't handle a little guy talk. You know, hey, we talk like guys, you know what I'm saying? But first, let's talk about Curb Your Enthusiasm. Did everybody watch the finale?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And what are your thoughts?
I thought they did it really well.
You know,
it was leading up to, the entire season was leading up to maybe he was going to be in jail, just like the end of Seinfeld.
And spoiler alerts, by the way. Yes.
Yeah,
you did. You kind of knew that that was coming. And to get there, you had to go, you know, there was, it was typical Curb. And I think that after the second episode, every episode was funnier than the previous, right all the way to the end. And every episode is super Curb-like. And, you know, and I love the fact that Richard was in almost every episode. Richard Lewis, rest in peace. The penultimate episode with Springsteen was, I think, my overall favorite non-finale show. I just loved that. I thought it was hilarious. He gave COVID to Springsteen, and it was great. But the one thing about that episode I have a question about, did people, like, Larry gets COVID, and then you see him take, like, 25 COVID tests. Once you got tested positive for COVID, did you take another one?
I mean, a couple of days later to see if it was gone.
I just waited 2 weeks. All right, I figure it's gone now.
So you stayed out of work for 2 weeks?
No, we were working from home last time I had COVID.
Okay.
I mean, I probably have had it since. I just haven't tested. What I liked about it is that the fun finale really did a good job referencing the Seinfeld finale. I was surprised to see him in the episode. I thought that was a nice add. And it also called back to the first season, specifically the Curb pilot with the pants tent. So it was a nice bookend if you're a fan of that show. I'm rewatching it now and doing
all kinds of callbacks during the trial from the entire series.
Yeah. But the very end, though, I mean, before Jerry shows up and, yeah, you know, you're out, you're free. The pants tent, when he's explaining to the other prisoner about, yeah, I got rid of my corduroys. Yeah, these are corduroys. That's from the first episode. Richard's girlfriend, who also played, I think she played the Italian mob boss that Tony went to see in season two of The Sopranos. And he got furio from her. I thought maybe we could talk about our favorite season and our favorite episode. I put mine in there. Do you guys do that?
No, I didn't do that.
My favorite episode is opening night, which is the final season of episode four. That's the season where he's working with Mel Brooks and what's his name? It was originally supposed to be Ben Stiller, but Ben Stiller got sick of him and quit. Who replaced him? Ross Geller, who played Ross Geller. I'm having a brain fart.
David Schwimmer.
And they do the producers. And then on opening night, Larry forgets his lines and he does the weird monologue, but it ends up being great. And then my favorite season is season seven, because that's the Seinfeld season. And I love that. And I still watch it every once in a while. I think it's very, very funny. Thoughts on the Joker trailer?
You know, when it first came out and they said that it was going to be a musical with Lady Gaga, I guess I thought it was, you know, in my mind, I pictured something completely different than what is in the trailer. So I'm kind of interested in it now, where I wasn't before.
Definitely going to see it. It's like all that's got to be going on in their heads, right?
The
musicals.
It's time for my talking. Ain't telling you lies.
Double radio.
He's got you the eyes.
My eyes do droop a little bit. They're coming, you know.
Don't speak too good.
I don't speak too good. Absolutely, I don't.
He's misunderstood.
What?
Sly called me a fat tub of lard on the set of Tulsa King.
Dude, what a meanie. But Tulsa King's casting company has called it quits with the actor Sylvester Stallone, who they've accused of disparaging and being mean to some of the background actors. That's not a very nice thing to do. In fact, one of the things he said was, well, we have him here to ask him some of these questions. I don't want to. Well, there he is. Hey, Sly.
No, it's me, Sly.
You got a tuxedo shirt on, but you're wearing your boxing gloves. I love it.
Oh, yeah. You know, you got to be ready at all times for whatever might come up, you know?
Well, the Rose Lock casting group, they're trying to beat you up. They fight with you. They said that they weren't going to cast your show Tulsa King anymore. I believe season two is shooting where? Here in Atlanta?
Yeah, you know, that's you are correct on that. Big misunderstanding. You know, try to talk to some people. They just don't want to listen to reason. It's a sad state of affairs.
What's wrong, I ask, for a casting agency to provide you with pretty young girls to look at?
Well, you know, that's a prerequisite, of course. You know, I mean, yeah. I am a star, and there are certain things that I require, and one of them is to have pretty girls around me at all times.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. You have your daughters. Oh, no offense meant. They're pretty ladies.
No offense taken, you know.
You know the genes. They're the reason that they're pretty. I understand. You have the good genes, Italian genes.
Right now, I'm wearing trunks, though.
Yes, you know?
They're good trunks, though, too.
But you were accused of calling some extras ugly, a tub of lard, a fat guy with a cane, which I think is very specific if you're the fat guy with the cane.
Well, here's the thing. You got to understand something. You know, a lot of stuff is taken out of context. I was talking to a friend of mine, and the thing is that we've recently relocated to Florida.
Right.
And a friend of mine in Florida, they're on this new health regimen. And to make their skin glow, kind of like mine right now, what you do is you fill up a bathtub full of lard and you take a bath in that lard. Okay. Now, the fat guy with the cane, he just happened to hear that, you know, and got a little hurt about it. But it's taken totally out of context. I said, hey, fat guy with the cane, you know, we're taking a bath in lard. It's not you.
and
even though you might be, you know, like Crisco, you know, fat in a can, it's still, I didn't mean him personally. We were just talking about taking a bath in lard.
I understand. A lot of us have done that in the past. It's a lost tradition.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you know, it only us real rich people do it, you know. And unfortunately, you know, fat guy with the cane, he didn't understand that because, you know, he's poor.
Right. He doesn't. And I mean, Sly's making a great point. You guys laugh all you want. In the old days, the farmers used to take the lard and they would take a bath in it. But then, you know, Bill
Gates, right,
farms, and the Chinese own all the pig farms, and they sell all the lard to the rich people.
That's right. You know, and the thing is that, you know, hey, fat guy with the cane, he must have some money because, you know, he's not missing any meals. and he could afford a cane.
Right.
So, you know, basically, he's got three legs.
Right.
You know, and next time, I'm just going to call him Big Tripod.
But, there you go. Or R2-D2. You
know, there you go. Yeah. Maybe I'll just go beep, beep, boop, 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 beep, beep. I don't know.
Considered for Star Wars.
Yeah, you know. Well, you know, I mean, I want to make sure nobody's around me.
Uh-huh.
Jabba the Hutt was already taken.
Right.
I crack myself up sometimes, you know. It's a funny thing.
So these people that you allegedly were insulting on set.
Yeah.
You were able to smooth it over by sending them Blu-rays of Over the Top. I heard that in the story.
Oh, absolutely. They're welcome.
Yes. What would you recommend to someone if you gave them Cobra and Over the Top, both of them on Blu-ray?
First thing you do is you fill a tub full of lard.
Listen, I'm going to let
you. Then you get the largest TV you can find.
Okay.
Put it in your bathroom.
Okay.
And then you sit there and wallow in lard and enjoy my acting prowess.
Right. If you can't afford the lard, will beef tallow work?
Maybe what, you know, fat guy with the cane should have done is kept saving all of his bacon grease, because you know that guy eats some bacon.
You're creating solutions, and you need to get credit for that as well.
Well, that's why I can afford a tub of lard, because I'm an idea guy.
Yeah.
And I come up with ideas all the time. You know, I mean, hey, Tulsa King didn't grow on trees, you know.
What else are you working on right now?
Well, you know, I'm still working on the killer whale. Yeah. I've been in serious talks with Jason Statham, and he is very interested.
Awesome.
Yeah, and you know, I just recently turned him on to the Tub of Lard regimen, and he's glowing. It's almost like he's radioactive. He might be. I'm not sure. You know, I can't understand what he says half the time, anyhow. But you know,
what's your recipe for the tub?
Oh, hey, you know, you could be his voice double. You know, I'm loving the haircut though.
Oh, thank you.
You get that at Great Clips.
Great Clips. I'm doing that. I don't know my relatives, but I'm Andrews, but I also am half McNaney. And when the McNaneys got into their 50s, the ones that had hair, they started combing it like this. So
yeah, well, this fat guy down here doesn't have any hair, so you know. he parts his hair on his back that way. But tell you that.
Sly, thank you. Do you want to leave some social media? Where can people find you? Anything?
Well, you know, if you look on, I Do Things Kinda. That's YouTube. I have a music video on there. I was actually going to send it to you guys, but I forgot to.
I understand.
You
know,
I wrote a lot of it in my tub of lard.
Ding, ding.
Ding.
Well, Sly, it's always nice to talk to you. We've missed you on Radio Labyrinth. You're welcome anytime you have something that you want to talk about or if you've offended anything.
Yeah, actually, I've been missing you guys a lot. You know, a lot of stuff going on in my life. You know, we moved to Florida. We moved to Florida. All right, there you go. Well, you're caught up now. All right.
Hey. Mark Schrankel, everybody, thank you very much. How are you?
Good. How you guys doing?
You know, people hate us because they don't watch our show and they think we're shitting on their favorite podcasts.
Oh, yeah? Well, hey.
But other than that, we're great. The eclipse didn't kill us. Yeah.
People have to shit somewhere. So if you're shitting on somebody's podcast, you know, hey, at least, you know, you're being some kind of socially responsible, right?
I want to shit in a giant tub of lard.
Hey, you know, you got to do that sometimes. You know?
What have you been up to, man? How's things? I see that you're working on your headshots and stuff. Are you working on anything right now, TV wise or social?
I watched that Girls on the Bus show and I didn't see you on there.
They cut me out. But the thing is that they might show because I was a bus driver that was driving for a caucus, and my big line was, "Let's get ready to caucus." Yeah, so I did it. But so they might use it in another time. I thought it was going to be for the Iowa caucus, but maybe they're going to use it for their New Hampshire caucus. I don't know.
Yeah, okay, Parchin then.
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing. I'm just like, you know, hey, maybe. Because it was just on a bus, so it could be any time. And they were wearing I know I was wearing like earmuffs and stuff, so it's supposed to be like winter. So maybe it's going to be New Hampshire.
You get to interact with people, like talk to any of the people in the cast?
I was in the scene with all four of the main women in that show. And I hung out with them like all night long. Yeah. Yeah. In fact, we're talking a lot. We're most of the time just sitting around, you know, that's why Sly got in trouble. He just talking about people. It's more sitting around than it is actually doing stuff. But sat around for a while. In fact, when I first got on set, I was trying to find my little, they put you in a little, like a little closet to see you can change your clothes. And a woman came up to me and asked me where they were serving the food. And I'd just come from there. And it turned out to be the woman that plays Lola on that show. So, yeah, the first person I talked to was one of the stars.
Natasha. That her name?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really nice. They're all really nice. Really nice.
Melissa Benoist. She was Supergirl.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't recognize her because she had like auburn hair.
Okay. And she wasn't wearing
really, no, she didn't. Well, you know, she came out of the bathroom once and I saw it. She was just covered up real fast.
There aren't phone booths anymore, so you got to find a place.
Yeah, yeah. She was in a stall. Yeah, we're actually, we have our contracts. We signed everything for our podcast. We just haven't gotten everything finalized yet. But yeah, we're supposed to have a podcast coming out sometime.
John Array and you and the whole family?
Yes, yeah, the whole family.
What are you going to call it?
Right now, we're calling it the Odds Are podcast. See, the girls, Patty, the girls play this game called Odds Are.
And basically, like, one person picks a number between like 1 and 10, the other person has to guess it. And if they guess it, before they do that, you know, they have to do, like, they say odds, and they have to come up with some kind of a dare that they're going to do if somebody, like, picks it.
Right.
You know, like, lick a turd or eat dog poop or something like that. And so the girls always play that. I never do. I hate those kind of games. But, yeah, they're always, you know, playing that game. And so we called it Odds Are. Yeah, you know, because that's one of the defining features of our family.
Be sure to let us know when you start dropping episodes. We'll be sure to get you back on. And
oh yeah, no, that'd be great. Yeah, in fact, I kind of missed you guys. I was like, yeah, one of the. I was so glad that you guys contacted me to do this, because you know, it's been a while.
We're glad that you were able to do it, man. We always loved Sly talking, and we love talking.
Well,
to
thanks.
You. Tell us everybody, Bruce and everything, where they can find you and stuff like that, please.
Oh, yeah. Honest Day Cartoons on Instagram, Mark Frankel on Facebook, and whobuddies.com, whobuddies.com.
Yes.
Yeah,
I saw those last two puppets you made. They were great.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're on their way to Slovakia as we speak, and I'm making two more for my friend in Slovakia. He's actually, from what he tells me, he's talking with some people there. They're going to try to make the Slovakian version of Sesame Street.
Wow.
So yeah. So it's going to be like some puppets living in a gulag.
You are a grouch. We will kill you now. Hang it.
They're all depressed and
have anything to eat.
Again.
What for dinner? Shoe leather again? Oh, boy.
Please bring more vodka. Oh, we have nothing
vodka.
To eat.
Oh.
We only eat Snuffleupagus one ham at a time.
His trunk keeps getting shorter and shorter.
He's on four peg legs, but he's so nice.
You can hear him coming now. Click, 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 click.
People can see him because he can't run away.
Yeah. They should make his pegs like those pogo sticks. Yes, that'd be fun. Yeah, nobody else could see him, though, could they? It was just Bird that could see him.
Until the end.
No, they changed
it. Oh, yeah? Yeah,
and Bird showed him to everybody.
You know why? Because everybody thought that Big Bird was insane?
No, true. But the real reason is because in the 80s, you remember, all those child molestation stories started coming out in the news?
They wanted people to be able to believe you, though, if you told them something.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Yeah.
And had to validate Big Bird.
Yeah. Yeah. So when Big Bird's molested again, people would believe
him. Yeah, Big Bird should stayed out of those P. Diddy parties.
That's right. All right. Well,
they'll keep us posted on anything you got going on.
We talked to some places about a new show, but we haven't heard back yet. So we'll see what happens. But we are having the podcast. So that's.
The podcast will be huge. What company is it with?
I know that Jeff Probst has his podcast through them. I was like, oh,
let us know when it drops and everything, or before it drops, so we can promote it.
Yeah,
I will definitely. Sure. Yeah, I'll have Fly come on and he'll plug it.
Yeah,
I don't know what people love, but they got a podcast. You know what I'm saying? I'm doing this to that community service because I call somebody a tub of lard, but I'll do it.
Welcome
to who's this bald guy with the podcast?
he's not slim. That's all I got to tell you.
That's enlarged.
You know, like me in Copland, you know, I gained weight for that. And I felt bad about myself and others.
Have a great night, and thank you so much.
Thanks, Mark. Hey,
thanks, Mark.
Hey, great seeing you at all. I feel you completely. All right, guys. I'll talk to you later.
All right, tell everybody.
Mark Schrankel, everybody. Thank you very much for joining us. Of course, we love Sly and Sly talking, and hopefully Sylvester can continue making that show. I don't know where he's shooting.
I have a feeling that the casting director maybe got fired.
You think?
And it's just like some bad blood to try and justify them being fired.
Well,
that's just my opinion.
If so, it snowballed into something bigger than they ever hoped, you know.
Yeah.
They hope it went under the radar, but it didn't.
Sly's correct, man. You just take a bath in lard and watch those two movies. it was a misunderstanding. All right,
They were saying that the director wanted headshots of all the background people, and the casting director was like, we don't do that. So I feel like they maybe got fired.
And they do that because... I used to hire people all the time.
Yeah.
It's 30 years ago, 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Guys, are you reading the online comments?
Gotta read some of these comments.
I'm loving your guys' comments.
You're reading your own comments?
Yeah, they're really good. I worked hard on them.
The secret is, don't read the comment cards.
All right, you ready for some YouTube comments? This one I don't understand. It comes from Vevin... Nev 5945 says 243 Tom about B Schwab B great podcaster, never met him.
Brendan Schwab.
Yeah.
No, I know that, but I don't understand it.
Like, I never met the guy. He's a good podcaster. I never
I saw him do stand up once and it was terrible.
I've seen him on shows and found him sort of interesting. I don't have any problem with him other than that. Roby jumps in. Thank you, Roby. He says, new podcast idea. I thought I'd do a podcast reviewing the shows who are reviewing the podcast review shows. However, now I want to do a podcast reviewing the comments of a show reviewing the podcast review shows. Well, don't come to ours because we don't get very many. But that is a good idea. And then somebody underneath wrote, Nico Mojo wrote, I would only read that show, not watch. And somebody, Triceptor78, says, you guys better watch out. Red Bar's watching. We already addressed that. If he's watching, he's not going to find anything tearing or being rude about it.
He didn't like that impression he did of him.
How would he even know? He's not.
that was some of the other comments on some of the other platforms. It was like, he won't like that.
It wasn't bad, was it?
It was good, actually. Really good, actually.
And then here's the one that set me off, EFOG35. I know it's clickbait, but jealousy is crazy. Not even entertaining. Just trying to be relatable and try to jump into the big boy world. Maybe appreciate people like the people that you're shitting on do. Then you might have better views, just my opinion. Well, we just started doing that, EFOG35, and we weren't shitting on any of them. I imagine you didn't.
Not on the podcast, we weren't.
Right.
But in our personal lives.
Yes, I spend the whole day talking about those shows. I watch all those shows. Dustin watches those shows. Jeff doesn't because he's normal and watches television. But as far as I can recall, we didn't shit on any of those guys. Not Comedy Enforcement or not podcast. We didn't, did we?
No.
We didn't on their jobs or any of that stuff.
No, I mean, we're fans. So yeah. Why would we shit on on them?
Yeah. And we have better views because that's what we've been doing. I'm sure they'll all evaporate. We can go back to just being miserable. I'm just kidding. Please stay with us. Share us with your friends.
Like and subscribe.
Tell Red Bar that we just want free plugs. Why anybody else? That's why people do think they want free plugs. I'm looking forward to his next show. It should be this weekend, right? Since his last one was the 25th.
Yeah.
And he does them 2 weeks. So I have 8 hours to kill.
Yeah, just break it up over 2 weeks and be ready for the next one.
All in one fell swoop. This show's interesting, and I like Jules, too. So don't say we're shitting on people when we're not shitting on people. All right, we'll be right back.
Hi, it's Bernie Sanders for the pod burn and all that. Spring is here, and we're excited for warmer weather. Stop in to Atlanta Pizza and Euro for one of their 16 ice-cold draft beers and ciders on tap. They do not have Bernie Malt Liquor yet, but we're working on it. Try one of the many local craft and domestic beers available in cans and bottles. I hope they recycle them because it's very important. Their featured selection this spring is Their featured selection is this spring is Sweetwater Brewing's Half a Gummy Fruit Punch IPA. There's a lot to unpack there. There's a pot reference. It's IPA. It's got fruit punch, which is what you drink when you're high. You know, the guy, the Hawaiian punch guy with the hat. Delicious. It's easy drinking, sweet tasting IPA with low bitterness and delicious fruit flavors. AP&G is a longtime favorite of Konya's in Covington and the East Metro area of Atlanta, Georgia. They're made to order pizzas, gyros, or gyros, however you say it, pasta specialties, and Greek salads are absolutely the best around. They wish to sincerely thank everybody for their business and support, both now and into the future. They have a food truck. Their events are going on regularly, but if you're interested in booking one, just contact Mike Hall at 770-483-6228. Open for dine-in or takeout Monday through Friday, 11 to 9, Saturday, 12 to 9, closed on Sundays. I don't know about the glory hole. You guys said earlier it was open again. I doubt it. Celebrity voice impersonated.
Do you have a commercial or residential construction printing need? Well, what are you waiting for? Contact LDI Repro Printing of Athens. They've been in Athens, Georgia since 2005 with a fast turnaround and affordable prices. Call 706-316-9366 or you can email them at athens@ldiline.com.
His views.
Or.
Snooze.
Back.
All right, views or snooze, where we talk about shows that are coming out and whether we're going to views them or snooze them. Last week, what do we have, Jeff?
Ripley, which I haven't watched yet, but I hear it's good. Discovery, Star Trek Discovery, I watched the first two of those. And Sugar, which was really good. People are saying it takes a weird turn about episode 5, though, and I don't know what's going to happen, but I like the first two.
Sugar looks interesting to me out of all three of those. It's just in my...
Don DePetta is in it.
Yeah, Don DePetta, who I had on the podcast. Don DePetta, also his dad is, he's a comedian, but his dad is one of the runners of the Punchline Comedy Club.
Yep.
All right, I'll check that out. Jeff said it was really good. What do we got this week?
Fallout starts this week, tonight, actually.
That's a
I'm going to abuse the hell out of that.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm not going to binge it, though. I got to savor it.
I think they're doing it weekly, aren't they, on Amazon?
I thought they were putting all of them out at one time. You sure about that?
I don't know. I'll have to check, but Amazon usually run them weekly.
All 8 episodes of Amazon's Fallout TV series now.
Wow.
Fallout TV series will premiere one day early with all 8 episodes now hitting Prime Video on April 10th.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yep. Oh, I'm going to abuse the hell out of that.
Yeah.
Not getting any sleep tonight.
Franklin starts on Apple TV this week. This is Michael Douglas playing Ben Franklin.
And that's a
it's got good reviews.
Yeah, it looks pretty good. I don't know if I buy him as Ben Franklin, but I'll give it a chance.
And what's
I'm
going to
use at least the first one. And then Good Times starts on Netflix this week, the cartoon.
Yeah, I saw the trailer for it. That's a snooze for me.
What?
And one of the actresses is already giving it shit.
Really?
Yeah.
That show was, I know Norman Lear was involved with this. Maybe that's
he did a voice before he passed.
I know. Maybe that's what killed him. I love Jay Farrow. I like JB Smoove. Everybody in this looks interesting, but I like Good Times. I like Good Times, and I think this is going to be just, foul.
Yeah. I want to see what it's about.
I'll use it. Just see.
Yeah.
You can quote Gilbert. We'll see what happens. let's do staff picks. My staff pick is just because I interviewed the guy and I'm reading the book. I actually have another one. It's Brad Baluchian's new book. The name of the book is Six Pack, right? And the name of the book is, it's not about a beer. It's about chasing down the people who were on the bill the night that the Iron Sheik in December 1983 defeated Bob Backlund, kicking him out for a while and ushering in the era of Hulk Hogan. He talks to Tony Atlas, Sergeant Slaughter. I think he tries to track down Hogan and Vince McMahon, and then he weaves his own personal stuff in and out of that. So that's my staff pick. And then the Jim Cornette. If you're a wrestling fan, you know Jim Cornette. His podcast is a lot of fun.
Mine is the Lonely Island Beginnings podcast, hosted by Seth Meyers. He's got the Lonely Island guys on there talking about how they started and all that stuff.
That'd be cool. Hopefully they got some behind-the-scenes stuff on all those big skits they did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Mine is a Netflix comedy special. Neil Brennan put out Crazy Good.
Is that good?
Is that out now?
His are always great.
I was looking forward to it.
Yeah.
And it's on Netflix right now?
Yep.
That's all.
All right, everybody that's still with us and is not mad at us and isn't calling us a bunch of names, we have a Patreon that you can join and become a producer of the show. It is patreon.com/Tim Andrews, where you can also watch episodes of our Patreon-only show. That's about 10, 15 minutes long, unless we're reviewing or watching something. It's only $25 a month to be a Radio Labyrinth producer. When you sign up, you get a T-shirt. We don't make you wait a month. You get it right away from our T-shirt store, and you get some stickers mailed to you. We need to get new stickers made, so if you guys have any ideas, please let's start doing that, and I'll pay for them even maybe. You get a doodle from me. You can have me do a custom one, or you can say, "Hey, let me see some of the ones you've done, and I'll send them to you." It's that simple. I can either do it with pen and pencil, or I could do it on my iPad. They're a lot of fun. They're a lot of fun. Trust me. Our executive producers are Tim Slayton, Brian and Chelsea Smith, Jeff Peterson, Jim Fortner, Terry Fuller, Chris Chandler, Roby Neely, Mike D, and Matt Carter. And they are all official producers of the show. But at any level, dollar and up, you can watch our weekly Patreon show. We're not going to change that. A lot of people have been telling me, "Hey, you want to charge at least $5? I said, "No, a dollar is fine to watch quality entertainment." I also host a radio show on WSB Saturday nights at 7 p.m. WSB is in Atlanta, Georgia, 95.5 FM, 750 AM. You can also listen elsewhere on the WSB radio app, or you can find all the episodes as a podcast in your favorite podcatcher. My guest this week, I've already mentioned, Brad Baluchian, talking about his book. I'll also be speaking to some people about anime. I guess I better find out the names of those people. The podcast that's available right now is Aaron Weber, a very funny comedian coming to the Punchline in Atlanta in a couple of weeks, and Dickie Barrett, who was the lead singer of Mighty Mighty Boss Tones and now has a band called Defiant. And so I've got some other guests coming up that are interesting as well. What else? Oh, yeah. Give Barkville, your moolah. BarkvilleDogRescue.org.
Woof.
Woof. Keep it canine, as they say. All right. Thanks again to Sylvester Sly for Sly Talking. That's Mark Schrankel for coming.
Yeah, that was fun. We should have him on more.
I agree. Did we leave anything out from this week? We mentioned Joe Rogan.
Yeah, we snuck him in there.
All right. Did we mention Tom Segura?
Yeah, we snuck him in there. Bert Kreischer. Well.
All right. Got to get in those algos. We got to surf
the Theo Vaughn.
Theo Vaughn, yeah. Oh, we did mention Theo this time, so you could slap him on.
Mr. Beast.
Huh?
Mr. Beast. Let's just keep mentioning big YouTubers.
We love all the podcasts. People work really hard on these podcasts, and they deserve your support, including us, goddammit. Keep it canon.
Keep it canon.
Keep it canon.
Well, they say all good things come to an end.
What's that got to do with this show?